same one who brought up McCain and Obama in his church to give more of publicity again to Obama, basically saying it's okay to be a Christian, and it's okay to be voting for Obama because we've got plenty of people here at Saddleback that plan to vote for him. It's okay. The pastor saying it's okay.
The people, the Christian people, the non-Christian people refuse to talk about what they're looking at. My frustration, and I don't get that frustrated anymore because I don't expect anything out of most professing Christians. I expect nothing because if they had to think, wait a minute, I'm going to have to make a choice of me and my family living when everybody's given the mark. Let's say that the mark, the year, because they tell me that in the year 2010 or 2012, a tremendous catastrophe is going to hit this country. Something's going to hit it. We're going to be thrown into martial law. Everyone will have to have a chip. Now, the bottom line is this. When they come and say, John Coleman, what? I understand you have a firearm. Yes, I do. Give it up. No, you ain't getting it. John Coleman, what? Your dog is chipped. We know where Bro Man is. We got to chip you. I'm going to say, I don't want a chip. John, you won't be able to buy, sell, eat, or anything. Then I starve to death, but I'm not taking a chip. I can see my children coming to me. Daddy, come on, take the chip. You're letting that Bible? I said, nope, I cannot. I don't want to take the chip. I lived in a free country. In a free country, I don't need a chip. You don't have to do that to me. I'm going to be a decent citizen. I'll be dead within 2 or 3 days. Easy. Most Christians are not going to be dead because they're going to take it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go along with all this stuff going on. And
most professing Christians.
Yeah, well. I mean, I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, Bob, because, right. You know, when they think about really suffering for Christ, and you know what? It brings us down to our respect. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that bear witness of me. Jesus says, search the scriptures. But we have to answer some questions, and the questions is, let me come to the first question. Here it comes. Do we view God, and we're just going to have a quick discussion about this, Bob and Mark, do we view God in the same way that the first century Christians did?
Do we view God the same way that the early believers did?
Yes. Christians today.
Vast majority, absolutely not.
Just what came out of the Bible study last night.
It's the same answer.
Absolutely not. No. All right. Since you've answered that, Bob, look at the next question.
This is a God that's concerned about my 401k. This is a God that's concerned that I have a happy house. This is the God that's concerned that I look good when I'm walking down the street.
Right. And he's concerned about none of those things.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. Second question that we asked last night, do we in this modern era have the same balanced concept of God that the first century Christians
had? No, God is love. God is love. God loves me. God loves you. God loves everybody. See, everybody's a child of God. God made all of his children. He loves all of his children. This is the God that we serve.
Bob is just a spoiled sport. Number three, Bob. Here's question number three. Let me see how you're going to answer this one. Do we offer human adoration through godly respect to God?
You know, I'm struggling with this myself.
Okay.
And I am struggling with glorifying God to others in my life, the circles that I'm around. Not in terms of preachy, not in terms of beating you over the head with the Bible, but in terms of what are the motivations of my work? Are the motivations of in my work that I have a great deal of pride in what I do, that I want people to see what a perfectionist I am and how well people turn out? What motivates me? Do I want to get busier? Why do I want to get busier? What will I do with the finances when I get busier? And so,
good question.
So, and these are the things that I'm dealing with. I have in the past glorified God and given God more glory in my work and through my work and okay. lived it better among other people than I have been lately. And I need to get back to that, but I need to even do better than I did before.
All of us do. All of
so
us
that,
do.
So that people can actually, when we die, I don't want to hear he was a great surgeon. I don't want to hear he was a great surfer or his golf yeah. score was such and such or this or that. I want to hear that people saw Jesus through the way he lived his life.
Yes.
And so that's, and I'm not there. I mean, I'm not there.
I don't
there.
Think that all of us are there 100%, but the question was, are we striving for that adoration towards godly respect? Do we think about it? What I asked in the Bible study group last night, are we consciously thinking about that when we get up and go to work, when we pray?
And that's what we need to do. To get every thought captive.
Yes.
So when we first get up, what ought our first thoughts of the day to be?
Right. You shouldn't
Not,
be thinking about the 401k. Right.
I need me some coffee. I got to take a shower. I'm 15 minutes late. Or how is God going to work through me today? And how can I not get in the way of that?
Bob, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2 is a passing fantasy. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Because when you go to that particular verse, you're going to read about a man that was not a Christian, that was not a Jew. But why don't you read these verses? Because I don't think that even the Christians today is where this guy was.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So he was a Roman, Roman centurion. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always.
Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of these things that he did here, and I hope that you can see it on the diagram. Cornelius was a God-fearing man.
Yes.
It comes from a Greek word, phobeo, where we get our English word phobia, you know, fear.
Yeah, we were just talking about homophobia.
Yeah, right. And so, but here he feared God. So that meant that what Cornelius had for God was what we call reverential admiration. And we got another scripture coming up, because now what we've got to ask is, what is reverential admiration? And the reason that I brought this Bible study, and I thought it important to bring it here, is because we've moved away from this. That's why we're too worried about the economy, our 401ks, and everything else, and we don't have this reverential.
People fear the wrath of their wallet and their savings
yeah.
and their things
are losing
versus
yeah.
fearing God who put you in the first place.
Now, what does verse 29 say?
Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Deuteronomy 5:29.
Now, in all of these things right here, and I got it popping up on the screen right in front of me, we see what the writer was saying. Reverential admiration, therefore, is respect. We have to exercise caution. We give all to God's person. We come before him mentally with a humble spirit. This is how we do it. But we can't do it when we've displaced God and taken him off the throne, and we have the worldly things that have been placed on the throne of our lives. And it doesn't mean for us to get rid of everything, Bob, because, that's okay. But it doesn't mean that we get rid of everything. It just means that what we have to do is we have to think about the rightful place that God should be given in our lives. He has been dethroned.
The things in our life are just that, things, and they have their place in our life.
Yeah.
But God is my life. He sustains me, and I can't live without his influence in my life.
Yeah, look what it says. Oh, that we had such a heart in them. God is saying, Moses, if they had the capacity, if they had the mentality, if they had the respect in them for me, then I would do something for them. Mm-hmm. See, you have to look at what he's saying, that they would fear me. We don't fear God today because we got stuff. That's why we're in the shape that we're in. We don't fear him the way he wants that. Go ahead, Bob.
I can't help but look at a parallel scripture
okay.
from the New Testament. And this is from Mark 4:18 and 19. Speaking in the parable of the sower and okay. what kind of ground he was sowing the word of God to.
Yes.
And the different types of soils.
Yes.
And then Jesus saying and explaining one of the soils, which is the thorny ground. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word,
yeah.
and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So it's basically,
yeah.
he's saying this is yeah. like going to the store, getting some seeds for your flowers,
mm-hmm.
and you put it in to the garden, but you didn't bother to weed out the weeds and the thorns. And, of course, weeds are pretty hard to kill, and brand-new seedlings are pretty easy to kill.
Right.
So you water it, and the weeds grow like crazy, and they choke this seed out to where it just withers, dies, and goes away. So the cares of this world.
Yes.
How much are we concerned about the cares of this world? How much are we concerned about our image? How much are we concerned about right. our looks? How much are right. we concerned about our economy? Right. What kind of car we drive? What kind of clothes we wear?
Right.
What people say about us?
Right.
The deceitfulness of riches. The lusts of other things.
Yes.
The lusts. And so this is talking all kinds of lusts.
Yes.
So this is not only lusts of things like Ferraris, which right. is one of them, but right. lusts of people, the lusts of flesh, yes. all of that. Anything that is, and we go back to the Old Testament again, back to Exodus chapter 20.
Yes.
And Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments tells us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Before me means in my presence, competing yes. with me right. for Godhead.
Yes.
So even if it's close, even if that house or that car or that woman or whatever, trophy wife, trophy girlfriend,
babies,
whatever.
Let it go.
Yeah. Anyway, if those are competing with God in any way for your affections, those are gods that are before him. You shall not have those. Those are the cares of the world. Those are choking out the word of God. The word of God becomes unfruitful with your life. And now getting back to the Deuteronomy text.
Yes.
God isn't going to do anything through you in that situation.
Absolutely, because what happens is that when you're living like that, Bob, one of the things that we spoke about is you're working interference against God because your hearts are messed up, sinful by nature. You're also working aggression against God's will because you're not frightened nor concerned about what he's going to do. And then lastly, you've outright rejected him because we're not striving to be perfect. We have replaced God with all of this stuff. And this is why there's such a non-concern in Christianity these days, Mark.
Right.
The Christians are saying, oh, I know John's going to bring that Bible. Go ahead, John, you preach your word, and I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. You're interfering with God's program. You're aggressively against his program, and you've rejected his program. That's what he's saying. Oh, that they would have a heart. And what we have to do is we have to consciously, Bob, at the end of the Bible study, I told him, I said, when you get up in the morning, just pray to God and say, help me be different and to remember you.
Right.
You know, and he's not going to change anything in your life drastically.
No.
But when you start off the day with God, it'll give you a different attitude, a completely different disposition.
Yes.
You know, you start answering in a godly sense. You bring God back into the marketplace of ideas instead of him being alienated. All right, we got another scripture. Let's go to this Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, because I think that God is just screaming all to America today, and he wants to get through with us about this situation.
Now, one thing I have to admit, though.
Okay.
Talking about the difference in how our world and how Christians view God and how they deal with him. And when we were young, very young.
Yeah.
This was generally a God-fearing country. Most stores were closed on Sundays.
Yes.
Clearly, bars were all closed on Sundays.
Yes.
It was normative for people to go to church and go to worship. And that was normative was a church tied to the Christian faith, I will say that.
Right.
In other words, in general, Catholics, Lutherans,
Presbyterian,
major denominations,
Orthodox, yeah.
That was the way it was in the 60s when I grew up.
Yes.
And so it was also normative, and it was also thought well, you were thought well of in society. Yes. If you were not divorced, you had a family,
yeah.
You attended church regularly, you know, you lived in generally a somewhat godly appearing life, you know, you were a decent human being, you could be trusted, your word could be trusted, you didn't run around on your wife, you didn't, you know, all of those types of things. You had a good report.
Yes.
That was lifted up. Clearly, nowadays, and as the Bible says,
it's gone.
In that day, they will call good evil and evil good, and that really has shifted. So it's much more difficult in this society that we're living in now to live the way even we used to live back in the 60s. It's much more difficult because now you're going to take heat for living the same way that you lived before.
Right. And that's why God answers that for the Christian. Because the Christian is drawn right back to that old, old book. In the Deuteronomy 10 and 12, it reads like this. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" Here's an interesting verse because it's saying that God requires something of us. Since he's the same yesterday, today, forevermore, he doesn't change. It says, "But to fear the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and love him
in all his ways,
and all of his ways, in all of them." Thank you. That's right. "In all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart." Not part of it, not Sunday morning, not just what you think, but all of your heart and with all of your soul. Now, what I did in the Bible study, Bob, is I put down, what does it mean to fear? And I put down that I have a special kind of frame of mind. Whenever I come into his presence, I am fearful not having this fear. Mm-hmm. See, the Christians are not fearful not having the fear. What they're doing is they're saying, "Okay, God, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my..." No, you haven't prayed. Then it says to walk. Now, this speaks of a way of life. I now think with a different kind of mind. My manners have been changed. I'm different. And then when he says to love, loving God takes real effort. The implication here is that I love him so much because he is before everything and all others that I do in my life. We don't even think about God that way. We don't think about loving him. And then he said, if they would serve me, serving God in every area of my life, I cannot serve him one day and then forget him for the rest of the time. You know, service is what we're called to do.
Yes, I mean, three alls.
All right, yeah. And see, if we don't do this, then we have not really dedicated ourselves to loving him. I want to continue with this as we continue with our scripture. We can look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4 says, "You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him." See, he repeats that phrase again. "You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him." You see, you guys got to know out there that God is